Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. How many of y'all know God's on the move? You betcha he's on the move. He's moving quickly. And then he's got a pace that's establishing so that we've got to be able to not only wait on him, but walk with him. Amen. And you know, the word tells us that there are positions that God has placed us in. And in these positions, what he's doing is because of the move of the Spirit and the leading, and he's moving his army and strategically positioning everyone. And we've got to move according to that, that people are progressing from one position to another. And I don't want to just say from position to position, but I want to share with you that as they're faithful in their call, God is beginning to move them up more and more, because one of the things he's doing is looking for faithful individuals. The Bible says that the Father searches for those who worship him in truth and in spirit. And in worshiping him in truth and spirit, why is the Father searching? Because he's trying to find those whose heart's totally dedicated to him. He's looking for those who he can reward. How many of y'all know God wants to reward you? Amen, he does. Well, we need to find out whether we're worthy of our call, or today's called Worthy of Your Call. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me? Ephesians chapter 4. And you know, because we're no longer in the last hours or the last days, we're in the last minutes. And God is on a big move. Would you start at verse 1 with me? It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. How many of y'all want to be a prisoner of the Lord? That's right. See, either you're a prisoner of the Lord or you're a prisoner of the devil. There's no in-between. You're one or the other. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul writing to the church of Ephesus, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In other words, to walk worthy of the position that I've invited you to. And then he tells you how, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. He says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called or invited in one hope of your calling or your position. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. In other words, God is testing us. He's finding out whether we are worthy of the position that we have been invited to have. In other words, worthiness. You know, I just want to share a little bit here about it is a reward for fulfilling a qualification. Worthiness. A person that has acknowledged or earned acknowledgement or recognition from God. See, God wants to reward you. If you are found faithful of your call, he always rewards you. Now, we know because we are in the last minutes that God is really shaking areas of all undefilement. He is exposing the enemy. Now, when the enemy is exposed, that means that we must warfare. Because the purpose of the enemy being exposed is like light exposing darkness. It doesn't mean that you just, you know, walk away from it. It means you attack it and take your territory. Amen? So we see that here we want to be worthy of the call. In other words, faithful. Faithful. We want to be so faithful. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Yes. How many of y'all want to be recognized by God? That's right. You know, the greatest thing that we can do to be blessed is to know that we please the Lord. That we please the Lord. So many people run from God because they know they're not pleasing him. Then they try to cover it up with drugs, alcohol, pornography, and all kinds of other lustful things of the world. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. He says this. Are you there? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Now the Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, that he is expressing. Hey, when God says express, he says, man, give me all of your attention. He says that the Spirit expressly says that in a latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. In other words, a deceiving spirit. People depart from the faith. It doesn't mean that they haven't believed that Jesus, all right? These are people that are still calling Jesus their Lord and their Savior, but they're not walking according to the will of God. They have fallen from their faith. Why? They've been taken out of position, and they're not worthy of their call. Why? Because they've been taken out of their call, and now they're doing their own thing instead of the will of God. And they begin to do doctrines of demons. And we know that doctrines of demons are associated with the secular society. You know, one of the things that, and I just want to share this quickly because I was watching something that just really blew my mind. And so many people are beginning to homeschool. Why are they beginning to homeschool? Well, one of the reasons is because the public school is no longer public. It is secular. Amen? It is secular. It's no longer public. It's secular. And the secular promotes ungodliness. It promotes darkness. It promotes wickedness. It promotes pornography. It promotes same sex. It promotes abortions. It promotes evil. And they don't even know it. And in the latter days, the Bible even tells us that people will begin to call good evil and evil good. Why? Because they've been taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And they have been pulled out. They have been pulled what? They have been pulled out of their call and begin to walk in the call of darkness. Well, there's an area where you and I must continually to maintain what God has given us to do. We are to be watchful, and we must watch selfishness and greed. The Bible says, don't love the world, and a good soldier should not entangle himself with the affairs of the world. Amen. So would you please go with me to, let's see here, let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, God is good. Worthy of your call. That means you got to judge yourself, don't you? Sometimes we don't even know how to judge ourselves. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, conviction. You know, that's where we got to know our boundary lines, and that's where we must become faithful. In Matthew chapter 10, is everybody there? Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 1. It says, now when he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now that's powerful. That's what the church should be doing right now. Now, he said something very powerful. He said, I've given them power. In other words, he's given them authority, because you can't have power without authority. Authority is the switch that releases power. Now go to verse 5. It says that these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them. I said he commanded them. Saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs. For a worker is worthy of his what? Food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is what? Worthy. And stay there till you go out. And when you go into the household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive your words or hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, what is he saying? Listen. First of all, I want to back up a little bit. And in verse 5, he says, do not go and away to Gentiles or Samaritans. Why? He's saying, listen, you be faithful at home. You be faithful, you complete and become successful at home, then I will send you out. This is where too many people are becoming self-proclaimed pastors, prophets, and evangelists. Self-proclaimed ministers. Why? Because they have not been faithful, complete, or become successful in the small part that God has given them. Do you understand that? You know, many people go out and try to become ministers, but they've never learned to minister to the Lord. So if you can't be a minister to the Lord, what gives a person a right to go out and minister to? Does everybody get it? It is important that we get these understandings, because we must first fulfill the first call in our life, and that's to become a priest. And a priest or priestess is one who ministers to the Lord. That is the anointing. That is the first office we are to get, is to become a priest and fulfill it and become successful. So as we minister to the Lord, then we are called to minister to other people. But too many individuals go out ahead of time before God sends them, and they cause damage to the body and harm to the unbeliever. Does everybody get this? Now, then he says, okay, this is what you're to do. You're supposed to go out to the lost sheep and so forth, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you give, freely you shall receive. I mean, freely you received, freely you shall give. And he says, whatever city or town or house that you have found worthy, leave your peace. In other words, leave your blessing. But if you're in a place and they're not worthy to receive, shake the dust off, get out of there, and continue on. So everybody got it. See, he gave them authority, which is a switch to power. He gave them a position. What would he say? He said, listen, you stay close. You stay in this town until you have become complete and successful. In other words, God keeps them in the house, keeps them in this smaller area to train them, to test them, and to qualify their worthiness. Two things are very important. What is he testing and what is he qualifying? Two very important things. He's looking to see if you are faithful to obey and that you are able to discern. Because if you are not faithful to obey and able to discern, he'll never send you out until you have become complete and successful in the small arena that he's given you first. Amen. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Right after Philippians. Oh, yes. Colossians chapter 1. I hope you're getting this today. Why? Because we want to be worthy of your call. Colossians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Good. Verse 9. Paul writes, he says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be what? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many of y'all know you need wisdom and spiritual understanding? Yes, you do. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. How many of y'all want to walk worthy of the Lord? Why? Fully pleasing him. Like I said before, the greatest blessing you can have is to know that you're pleasing the Lord. Fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. It says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin. Oh, man. So we see here it's very important that we maintain this worthy call or this position. Remember, call means to be invited. And he's looking for those who are called, chosen, and faithful. He desires that you be worthy of your call. you know, everybody's going to stand before him, right? We want to know that we're worthy of the call. Praise God. And remember, worthy is a representation where God rewards you because he acknowledges you. He recognizes, he sees, and he tests you. Why? Because you are being tested. You are being trained to and qualified to see if you are being worthy. Oh, praise God. Now look, there are areas here. He's saying, listen, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. Now, knowledge understood is truth. Knowledge that is not understood is not truth. That's why many people are deceived. That's why they go ahead. They're only caught up in the plan of salvation, but never go forward and get baptized in the Holy Spirit, where they're casting out devils and laying hands on the sick and so forth. The only thing they don't have to do is plant the seed of salvation. But I'm telling you, God wants to see if you are worthy of your call. Worthy. That means faithful. Two things we must be able to do. We must be faithful to obey and able to discern. Man, you've got to be able to discern what's clean and unclean, what's evil and what's righteousness. You've got to be able to understand these things. Why? To maintain your position. Why? Because there should be always a thirst and a hunger to always increase in truth. Increase in truth. Remember, taking your authority, cleaning out, removing the powers of darkness from territories. He wants to see whether you are faithful in the house and complete and perfect and successful in the house before he sends you. Praise God. Let's go forward.
Matthew 20. Start at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a... Uh-oh, this is where I made a mistake a long time ago. See, I didn't have my glasses on. And I said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a lawnmower. And I finally had to surrender and get my glasses. But today the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Hallelujah. Who went out. Man, it just got hot in here. Praise God. Who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Now, they all agreed to it. Didn't matter what time of the day. They agreed to it, didn't they? Okay. So, when evening, and he said to them, because no one hired us, right? So, they all went out. They all agreed. It was all different times. And so, when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward. To who? His steward. One that was what? Faithful. Worthy of his calling. He said, listen. Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. They didn't have very good discernment, did they? And they likewise received each a denarius. When they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only an hour, and you made them equal to us, who've borne the burden and the heat all the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your eye, or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last. For many are what? Called, but few are chosen. You think those men were tested? Yes. They were tested under what? Worthiness. Why? Because they made an agreement already, didn't they? And then when they saw what was going on somewhere else, they wanted what? More. More. Was that person worthy? No, because he was willing to break a vow and a covenant right there. Because he what? Wanted more. See, when you come in agreement with things, you come into what? Covenant. Amen? Covenant. And that's one of the areas that God is trying to bring his people in the area of fulfilling what they say they're going to do. That's called a worthy laborer, isn't it? A worthy laborer. Is everybody okay? You get it? So there are many called. The word called means invited. Amen? So you're going to be invited and you're going to be chosen to be put into a position so that you can be tested. If you have not successfully completed or been faithful at home, God will not send you anywhere else. He won't give you anything else. But you know, people go out of their home, out of the position that God has given them, and they haven't been faithful there. And because they want more, they see something better somewhere else, they begin to run to these things and try to bring them in, but they never come to full course. In fact, the worst thing that we can do is what? Be successful in the wrong assignment. That's the worst thing that we can do. And I know many people that are successful in the wrong assignment, and they're not fulfilling the will of God. Do you hear me? Go to 1 Corinthians 1. Worthy of your calling or worthy of your invitation. Now we all want to become third dimensional warriors, and these are the areas where God tests us. He tests us. And a third dimensional warrior is in an area in the spirit, isn't it? Where you are king of your territory. But you have to be, first of all, you've got to be found worthy of your calling before God releases kingship. You become a steward first, a servant, before you become a king. You must fulfill your priesthood and found worthy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. And verse 26. Would you all read it with me? For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called or invited. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Say, I'm foolish, but I'm wise now. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Wow, things that are despised, things that are unworthy, things that are junk. Things that are people that were outcasts. Well, that about makes every single one of us, huh? See, God chose us. He invited us. It had nothing to do with you. He was just waiting. He drew you, didn't he? And as he began to draw you, he got you into a position where you said, help. Because he was waiting for you to call. Amen? He was waiting for you to call. You know that other people's prayers cause you to get into a position for you to call? Because you and I can't rescue nobody. You can tell them all day long what's what, but that person has to get into a position where they look to God for help. And when they get into that position, daddy moves. And what he usually does is put you in a place to learn, put you in a place to get healed. Amen. What's he do? He brings you into a place which you call home. So that you can get trained up, tested up, filled up, killed up. And sent up. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. So, do you know you've been called, right? Amen. So it's got nothing to do, you are not called or invited because of any ability that you have. You get it? It has nothing to do with your ability, where you've been, how long you've been a salesman. I get people that come to the Lord, yeah, I've been a salesman for a long time. I can really sell Jesus. That ain't going to sell Jesus. Your walk is what sells Jesus. Amen? Your talk. Well, some. Hello. There's a lot of talking, not enough walk. So your ability has nothing to do with your call. Nothing. He invited you because He loves you. You've not earned to even be invited. He did it. That's called mercy. Amen? And then He called you to teach you His will. That's called grace, because grace is the will of God coming to pass in a person. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. He chose you, not because of your ability, but because of His great love, that He may express His glory, that He may take something that's nothing, rejected, beat up bottle, broken vessel, and begin to mold you and put His label on you. That's mine. Everybody say, I'm His.
I'm His.
Praise God. Oh, glory. Go to Revelation 17. You all right? Revelation 17, verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other have not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seventh and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as the kings with the beast. Then the ten horns which you saw are ten kings. Oh, sorry. In verse 13. Is everybody there? These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Who's the beast? Amen. Satan's kingdom, isn't it? These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will what? Overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are what? Called, chosen, and faithful. They are called, chosen, and faithful. Oh, hallelujah. See, so God first invites you, then He chooses you in a place, in a position, so that you can be tested and found worthy, so that you can become faithful, and He can release kingship into your life. So everybody got it? Because see, we're called to be what? Priests and kings, aren't we? And a king is a warrior. It's someone with authority in an area where he is the king of his territory. God does not just put us right into kingship, does He? We must earn that position. We must be found worthy of our calling before that is released. Does everybody understand this? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 24. Praise You, Lord. Because this last days, it's going to be the ministry of kings, isn't it? And we're teaching on that right now. We'll be finishing that up, part of it anyways, Tuesday. But this is where we must check ourselves out. We must look and check our own fruits out and allow God to continue the testing with us and find out whether we're actually worthy of our calling. In other words, whether we've been faithful, whether we're doing the right things, or we are individuals that commit to what we speak. If you say you're going to do something, that you do it. Amen? If you'll say you'll be there, you'll be there. In other words, you're not only honest with yourself, you're honest with God, and you're honest with individuals. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 24, in verse 45. Jesus said, who is then a what? Faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Why? Do you understand? Here's two things again. Faithfulness and discernment. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him what? so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying, is coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Hello? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So where are the hypocrites going? Hallelujah. So there is an area where there is a faithful and wise servant, isn't there? Now, I want to talk about seven quick things. Seven meaning what? Complete and perfect. And I'm going to take care of three of them right now. First thing is, you talk about when there's somebody that's worthy of their call. One of the things that's very, very important, the first thing, now we talked about being faithful, right? Being faithful and being able to what? Discern. Being faithful and able to discern. And there's something else I want to start with, though. It's be able, if you're not faithful and you can't discern, you can't put things in priority. See, if you're worthy of your call, the first thing you're always able to do is put things in priority. If things are not put in priority, I'm talking putting things in the priority of God. God is first. Amen? God, I didn't say your family was first. I said God is first. I didn't say your job was first. I said God is first. I didn't say your marriage is first. I said God is first. I didn't say your ministry is first. I said God is first. I didn't say your job or your talent or your ability was first. I said God is first. That's why many marriages mess up, because God's not first. That's why people lose jobs and so forth, because God's not first. You know, marriage counsel just isn't two people sitting in a room. First of all, you better be married to the Lord. Because if you're truly married to the Lord, then marriages work better, don't they? Amen. Amen? But if you're not married to the Lord, then the enemy has place. So there must be priorities. And the priority of the things of God. First God. Now when I mean first God, I'm talking about your finances. I'm talking about your relationships. Does everybody understand this? First God. And also, now listen, and don't get goofy on me, but also serving God. If the Lord says to me, you got to go here, and my wife needs me, I have to say bye-bye. Do you understand that? But see, God will give her understanding, won't she? Won't he? Does everybody understand that? See, that's why the Bible says that you and I are to hate our mother, father, sister, brother, wives, children. In other words, not literally hate them, but nothing can be between you and God. Nothing. That's where the enemy always comes in. Always. So, the first thing is we must put things in the priority of God first. Everything. Everything. Why? So he can continue to build the house and not you. See, this is where an individual's calling becomes unworthy, because they begin to build and stop allowing God to build. In other words, an individual allow God to only build this much. In other words, they tithe, but then they don't do everything else. They stop fellowship. They don't get in God's presence. See, because that anointing, without God's presence, that last song that we just sang, Lord, it's your presence that we embrace. Listen, if you're not embracing his presence, there are people that read the word all day long and never get in God's presence. That's where he says, I search for what? Worshippers. The Father searches for those who will worship him in truth and in spirit. Getting in his presence should be your priority. We don't want just a relationship with a letter. We want a relationship with the person. Amen? So then when you have that's called personal relationship. Just reading your Bible is not a personal relationship. Amen? Why? Because when I'm talking to my wife, I don't just like to talk to her over the phone. I like to be in her presence. Amen? You know, there's nothing worse than a long-distance relationship. And God doesn't want a long-distance relationship with you. He wants you in his presence. Because he wants your presence in his presence. Amen? Because he's a daddy that loves us. So we must get things in priority. The first thing that we must do is prioritize things according to the will of God. And not according to the will of your emotions, the will of your desires, and the will of your thoughts, the will of your finances, and the will of your needs. Does everybody get this? That's got to stop. Because you'll never walk in the kingly ministry until these things begin to change. Everybody all right? Good. Everything pertains to his building of the kingdom, isn't it? Amen? Everything. The second thing is obedience to deny self. Say obedience to deny myself. In other words, I must be faithful to obey so that I can constantly deny myself. See, if you can't obey, self is always running your life. And God does not communicate with self because self is an offspring of darkness. Do y'all get this? Why? Because you are a child of God now. He's given you a new spirit, hasn't he? You are now, God associates with his children, not self. Self just wants me, myself, and I. It gives me a me, and I'm not going there. Hallelujah. So the second thing we must do is be faithful to obey to deny self. Amen? The third thing. Did you ever hear that one? I didn't say 13. I said the third thing. The third thing. Shurabakarahasi. Hallelujah. The third thing is to have discernment to make kingdom decisions. Discernment to make kingdom decisions. Like I said, not make a decision according to your need, your want, your desire, your feelings, your emotions. You know, let me tell you, every one of those decisions will always end up a mess. If you're claiming that you're a child of God, every decision that's not made according to God is going to end up a mess. Too many people make decisions by fear or lack of fear. Hello? They make decisions because they're afraid of losing something. Hello? You know, some people finally make the right decision because something that God has blessed them with is about to be destroyed. And they finally go, oh Lord, I'm going to lose this. Marriages and other things, whatever it is that God has blessed you with. Amen? Then they finally go, oh, I better seek the Lord. Well, you know, the problem is because they never did any warfare. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Nobody's fought. Why? They did not have discernment to make kingdom decisions. And to be a worthy of your calling, you must have the ability to make decisions according to the kingdom of God. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Timothy 5. About 40 more scriptures will be done. Oh, come on, I'm only kidding. First Timothy 5. Glory to God. Man, I'm telling you what. God's got a plan. And we're in it. If not, you better. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. It says, let the elders who rule well, not rule bad. Who what? Rule well. Be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his what? Wages. In other words, people want rewards and recognitions and positions before they're worthy to receive or they've earned it. Somebody will look at somebody else, man, that's what I want. And they'll try to go get it without being honored or positioned by God. People want to be rewarded for things that they've not earned yet. Does everybody understand that? That's so important. Why? Because that moves you right out of position as being a worthy of your calling. I see people go left and right. God will always challenge you in these areas. He wants to know whether you're worthy. Well, He knows whether you're worthy. He wants you to know whether you're worthy. Amen? He wants to know what decision you're going to make. Is it going to be a kingdom one or a selfish one? People want rewards of recognition and position before they have earned it. Amen? They are prideful, they are anxious, and they are out of order. They are prideful, they are anxious, and they are out of order. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, because there is a trust in Him and a relationship with Him, you know that He'll meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory and far above all you could ever ask or think. Everybody all right? 2 Timothy 2. We haven't gotten number 4 yet, so just hang tough. We just finished number 3. We haven't gotten to number 4. I got to find it first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Is everybody getting this? Is there anybody here today? Cool. Verse 15. Would you read it with me, please? Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. In other words, put a muzzle over your mouth. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philip something, are of this sort. In other words, these are two people that were out of line and out of order, aren't they? And what were they doing? They were spreading garbage through what they were speaking. Why? Because most people who do not have understanding always believe it's evil. Oh, hallelujah. Who has strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. That's called a deceiving spirit, isn't it? Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for what? How many of y'all want to be a vessel of honor? Amen. Therefore, if you want to be a vessel of honor, if anyone cleanses his soul from the latter or the past, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord out of a what? Pure heart. What's he saying? Man, fellowship with those who are walking upright. Yeah, but I got good friends that are still in the world. Praise God. Pray for them and leave them. But I want to be a witness. You'll be a witness by what you do. It doesn't mean you hang with them. Eventually, your prayers will cause them a position to say, God, help me. And they'll call you. Amen. And the Lord will put your face before them. Do you all understand that? Well, He's a faithful daddy. He loves us. He loves the sinner, doesn't He? We're all sinners. We're all heathens. We're out there, man. Hello, we are out there. You're talking to one that was way out there. I was so far out there, I didn't... Glory to God. In verse 23, I mean, not even the life raft could have reached me. Praise God. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not what? Quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in what? Humility, correcting those who are in opposition or out of line or out of order. if God perhaps will grant them repentance. Woohoo. So that they may what? Know the truth or accept or receive the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil to do the will of the devil. Does everybody understand that? Oh, praise God. So you and I must come to a place where we really truly desire to be a vessel of honor for the King. Amen? Go to Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3. Worthy of your call. Worthy of your invitation. Did you ever invite someone to something and go, oh my God, I wish I hadn't invited that person? When you were in a world. I'm not talking about now. When you were in a world. Where somebody showed up and you go, man, how did you get him an invitation? That's what the world says to us. When we show up at a place. Man, how did you give an invitation? The Lord. Ooh. Well, you can't argue with that one, can you? In Revelation 3, and verse 2. Oh, praise God. It's a good day to die. To self. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Revelation 3 and verse 2. Now, the first three things we said, put things in priority of God, be faithful in obedience to deny self, and to have the discernment to make kingdom decisions, right? Good. In Revelation 3 and verse 2, it says, be what? Watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. In other words, we made an agreement. He said what? Hold fast and what? Repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have what? Not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So the fourth thing is to be steadfast and unmovable, willing to finish and complete. And I want to call this your homework, because it's in your Jerusalem where God is testing you, isn't he? To be faithful and complete. Do you understand that? So you and I must be steadfast, unmovable. You cannot be swayed. You can't be swayed how you feel or circumstance. You can't allow circumstances to move you. But my dog got ran over by a car. You know, excess of mourning is a spirit of oppression and depression. Amen? There's a lot of songs out there, you know, put some wood on the fire, baby, and my car's got a flat tire, and the car ran over the dog, and, you know, people go into oppression. But I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You cannot get caught up in these arenas and circumstances. And the reason why we get sucked in there is because God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So that means that you must be trained, you must learn. That's why many people are deceived by seducing and hindering spirits, aren't they? Amen? You know, many of us have come from religion. Or have fallen into religion before. We went to church one way and left the same way. We never even knew what a devil was. Never cast out a devil, especially out of yourself. Never knew how to clean your house from accursed items. Never knew any of this stuff. And the devil just used you. And prevented you from fulfilling the will of God. Oh, you fell in love. You had kids and all of this other stuff. But you never did the will of God. Does everybody understand that? There's more. There's more. There is more. Everybody all right? So the fourth thing is we must be steadfast, unmovable, willing to finish and complete. Go to verse 16. In Revelation 3. Verse 16. Ooh, would you read that with me? So then because you are what? Lukewarm. And neither cold nor hot, I will what? Vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and in need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow. Hello. This is pretty powerful, isn't it? As many, what does he say in verse 18? I what? Counsel you to what? Buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens or obeys the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Now listen. The fifth thing is we must avoid becoming lukewarm. You must avoid becoming lukewarm. You gotta be hot. You gotta be sizzling. Yeah. Avoid becoming lukewarm. And the sixth thing here is to accept the chastening of the Lord. In other words, you must be willing to receive His counsel, His correction, and His direction. No bucking, bowing. No buck, but just bow. So everybody got it. The fifth thing is to avoid becoming lukewarm. Why? Because you become carnal. You rely on the flesh and the emotions will move you out of position. And accept the chastening and correction of the Lord. Amen? It's so important. He knows what's best for us, not us. Your emotions, your feelings, your mind, and all the things associated with the carnality are not looking out for your best interest. Jesus is looking out for your best interest. Glory to God. 1 John, chapter 2. We're almost done. Hang in there. Be steadfast and unmovable. 1 John chapter 2. Praise you, Lord. Every decision that is made, not according to the will of God, brings you in covenant with darkness. You mean if I made a mistake? Yep. That's why we repent daily, don't we? Lord, forgive me for every decision I made that's not of you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? Oh, 1 John 2. Okay, cool. Verse 15. Are you there? Would you read it with me? Do not love the world or the things in it world. If anyone loves the world, he's a bonehead. He's a what?
Bonehead.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, that relationship is not there. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. So if you're loving the world and you're connected to the world, guess what? You're passing away too. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the what? Will of God abides forever. Number 7, we must avoid entanglements of lust of the world and be willing to die to do his will. This is 7. Avoid entanglements of the lust of the world and be willing to die to do His will. And go to Revelation 5. We want to be found worthy, don't we? Revelation chapter 5, verse 2. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming the loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals. And no one in heaven or on earth or under this earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Why? Because they were not worthy to open it. There was a price that had to be paid to be able to open that scroll. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of our elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seen seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out to all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth." And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and a number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever, for he was worthy." And I want to close at 2 Thessalonians. So there was a price to pay, wasn't there? He paid the price. If he is worthy, he wants us to be worthy, doesn't he? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, Lord. Is everybody there? Good. Chapter 1 and verse 3. We'll start there. Glory to the Lamb. We want to be worthy, Lord. We want to be worthy of our calling. We want to be worthy of that invitation. We want to be chosen, and we want to be faithful to fulfill the ministry of kings. In verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteousness judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you." I'm telling you, when you are faithful and worthy of your calling, God repays your enemies. "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints. And and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and faithful all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that you will be found worthy of your calling, that the Lord will find you faithful, and that you'll be known as faithful to fulfill the ministry of kings. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask that you prepare our hearts as we take communion. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord, in every area of our life where we have not been worthy of that invitation and that call that you've placed us with, Lord, that we've put other things in priority instead of your priority. Where we've touched unclean things. Where we've come in agreement with unclean things and have caused us harm or caused others harm. Lord, again, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, in every area. We forgive and bless those and release them from resentment and judgment who've persecuted us. We sever ourselves from all entanglements, from soul ties, entanglements in affairs of this world, inherited spirits, inherited curses. We stop today the inheritance of carnality, and we receive the inheritance of the throne room of God that has been established for us and prepared for us before creation. Again, we ask for your forgiveness of every area of disobedience, of not becoming faithful, of not handling things according to a steward that you have trusted, of not seeing things through, of not following up on things that you've asked us to take care of. Lord, forgive us for our words and covenants that we have spoke and not fulfilled them. Lord, continue to search us. Continue to empty us of those things that offend you and cause us to stumble. And take your rightful place in our spirit, our soul, our body, our will, and our desires. Take your rightful place in our call. We're willing to be trained. We're willing to be corrected. And we're willing to surrender and die to your will. As we take communion with you today, Master, let us become one in fellowship, in truth, and in spirit. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Hallelujah.